listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is coming to an internet near you in only 6 days. Brace yourself. Going to have some good stuff there. That's what the copy says. And
You've been promoting this heavily the last week. I'm very excited to see what you're going to trot out here.
We are very excited about that. The site's going to get relaunched April 1st. And going to have a new look, kind of a new feel, and all the good content that we're going to provide for you on there. And we encourage you to go in there and read the pieces that are on there. I did a
Carucci's
piece about
Corner?
Carucci's
Call.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Okay.
And, but among other things, videos that we have, and we produce a lot of videos off our show here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You hear the stream of the show. You can hear individual interviews, the archives. So explore. Go in there and check it out. And we look forward to you doing that. All right, joining us now from NFL Network is Brian Baldinger. And, Baldy, first of all, thank you for joining us. And secondly, just to talk about the Browns and all the muddling that's at the top of this draft, because people just aren't sure what to say about these quarterbacks. This is a team that clearly has a quarterback need, but maybe you don't do that at number four. Where do you weigh in on this?
Well, good afternoon, Vic. Nice to be with you. I don't believe that any of these quarterbacks are worthy of the fourth pick or the first pick. I just don't believe it. We've seen enough failures over the last 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, whatever, Vic, to know when we see somebody that's going to change a franchise. And I don't believe that any of these quarterbacks are going to do that. I don't think Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine have got to spend their fourth pick in this draft to improve the quarterback position. I think there's a lot of other holes, a lot of other more pressing needs right now than to try and reach for a guy that you're going to have to play it, especially if you draft him four. You're going to have to play him and develop him while he plays, and I just don't think that's a good idea in this draft.
Hey, Baldy, it's Michael Regei. I take you back to our NFL Europa days together there at NFL Films. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Listen, along those lines, Brian, does this feel to you a little bit like – I brought this up earlier in the show. Back in 2011, after Cam Newton was the consensus number one to Carolina, you had this run that surprised us all where 8, 10, 12, it goes boom, boom, boom with Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder. You just made the statement about the quarterbacks, in your mind, not having that top 10 cachet. Can we draw any parallels? Do you think somebody, though, is going to overvalue them because of the position and go up and maybe emulate 2011?
Yeah, I do. I mean, because that's what the NFL history is. And when you do that and you miss, you get fired. I mean, that's just the result of taking a quarterback in the top 10 and he doesn't work out and your franchise doesn't get turned around. I mean, I have a different opinion of what a franchise quarterback is. I believe a franchise quarterback is somebody that literally makes everybody else better and hides your weaknesses, like Peyton, like Andrew Luck did. I mean, those are – like Cam Newton has. Those are just rare, rare players. It takes a rare skill set and a rare talent, and they don't come along in every draft. And all those three players you mentioned in the 2011 draft were overdrafted. Mm-hmm. Had they been taken in the second or third round, maybe they wouldn't have played right away. Maybe they would have been selected by a better team with better parts around them, and maybe they would have been a better complement, and maybe their coaches wouldn't have been fired like they have. So I do think there's a lot of parallels, and I think not just parallels, but I think you have to learn from those mistakes.
Brian Baldinger from NFL Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Baldy, as we look at other spots, the Browns have addressed plenty in free agency, picking up guys like Carlos Dansby from Arizona, Dante Whitner from San Francisco, the linebacker safety, respectively. So heavily addressing defense there. Andrew Hawkins comes in at wide receiver and Ben Tate at running back. How do you assess what the Browns have done in free agency, and how much further do you think they have to go?
Well, I mean, I think they basically replaced parts that they lost, you know. So they lost T.J. Ward. They replaced him with Whitner. It's probably an upgrade. You know, they lost Dequell Jackson. They replaced him with Carlos Dansby, probably an upgrade. They needed a slot receiver. They probably have filled that. They certainly needed a running back, and we'll see if Ben Tate can stay healthy. I think they've got to upgrade the offensive line for sure. And I don't know if anybody believes that Josh Gordon can be a model citizen throughout his career and just go play 16 games and become a better football player. And if you don't believe that he's capable of doing that, then you better address the wide receiver position right now.
Always great to chat with Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network. Baldy, your position that you played in the league, how much, and I know Browns fans, you know, because it's not sexy and it's not headline grabbing, but you just did mention offensive line. Greg Robinson, the massive offensive lineman out of Auburn, is probably top five on all 32 NFL squads board. Have you had a chance to look at him, and how versatile could he be? Could he swing inside for a couple years and, say, play at that guard spot, either next to Joe Thomas or on the right side if the Browns chose to go that way?
I think Greg Robinson can play any one of four positions in the offensive line. He's a mauler. Physically, I don't know if there's anybody better than him in this draft. He needs some technique work. He's only played the position for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Jonathan Ogden played left guard his first year in the league, and then when Tony Jones moved on, he went out to left tackle and became a Hall of Famer. We have seen Tariq Glenn play guard before mm-hmm. he went to left tackle, protecting the blind side of Peyton Manning. He certainly can do that if that's what's needed. I don't think he'd have any problem sliding inside. He looks kind of like a guard, to be honest with you, a tackle. He just mauls people, and he's a very good athlete. So he could do that. I believe he's a top five pick. I think there's three really, really good tackles in this draft. Jake Matthews, along with the tackle from Michigan right now, Taylor Lewin, I really like him. I think all three of those guys are going to start and play really well in this league. I would go to the side of the more athletic guy after watching Lane Johnson play in Philadelphia a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was the best rookie of the year last year of any position. And his athletic ability is what got him taken at number four. And as it turns out, he's clearly the best tackle in the draft a year ago.
Brian, there was a lot of discussion, not surprisingly, at the league meetings these last few days about workplace conduct. A lot of it stemming, of course, most of it from the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito situation in Miami. But the discussion, especially today, you heard Jeff Fisher talk specifically from the competition committee addressing the issues of the on-field stuff, the taunting penalties that they quadrupled over the last couple of years, and that there's just an environment or a culture on-field that seems very bothersome to the league, and that they need or want to do something about it, and there's going to be like a heavy-handed approach, I guess, to trying to get things in line with that sort of behavior on-field. Do you see the same thing that you hear the league officials say, and how do you think this can, you know, speaking as a former player, Brian, how can this really be managed?
Well, I completely concur with Jeff Fisher, and if Jeff Fisher is saying it, I mean, he's not saying it to draw attention to himself. He just thinks it's an issue, and I think it is. In a lot of games, it's I think it's childish, it's unsportsmanlike, it doesn't help grow the game, Vic. I think it's an issue, you know, whether it's Golden Tate, you know, taunting somebody before he gets in the end zone. I mean, I could pick out, a couple dozen examples off the top of my head from a year ago. But I don't think it plays well. I don't know if it is systemic in the culture of the type of athletes there are these days, where they come from, their environments. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's an extension of it in some way, but I don't think it belongs in the NFL. I think it needs to be cleaned up. Our game is televised. Every game is televised. Every 10-year-old kid is impressionable. I don't think it's a good – I mean, we are such a league that is transparent at this point. I don't think it plays well. And I don't think – I think it's something that has to be handed down. I think there has to be penalties handed down to kind of really restrain it here, Vic. But more than that – I just think it's not healthy for the game when we see those kind of things.
Brian Baldinger, our guest from the NFL Network here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Baldy, you mentioned Mike Pettine, tremendous defensive resume, as we know, with Rex Ryan first at Baltimore before he took him with him as his DC to the New York Jets, and then with the Buffalo Bills, although we won't know really until the second Sunday in September. your sense of how Pettine is going to be able to handle this move now to have to facilitate the entire football organization as the head coach with the Browns?
Well, I mean, Brian Billick brought him from high school in Philadelphia here, where his dad's a legend at CB West, because he knew he was a very smart guy and he was a pure football guy. And there were some things they had to do with Mike. You know, he's a little rough around the edges, I guess you could say. But I think, you know, being under Brian, being with Rex, making the moves that he's made, I think he's been groomed for this position. Like I said, his dad's a legendary high school football coach. He's a true disciplinarian. He understands the game. I do think we find a lot about a coach when he makes that leap from coordinator to head coach. Are they the same guy? Do they turn into different guys? We've seen guys not handle it real well. They don't keep the same personality. They change it. Players see that. They know they're not genuine. That's something that all these players are going to be looking at from Mike. Now, a lot of guys don't know Mike at all here, but they're going to be looking to just see how genuine he is, how he deals with the players, how he deals with issues. And it's probably not going to take very long before he has to deal with something. And how he handles it is going to go a long ways to sort of determining his long-term success.
Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, my friend. We'll catch up with you down the road.
My pleasure, Vic. Mike, take care now.
Appreciate it, Baldy. Thank you.
He is Brian Baldinger from NFL Network. We have got a lot of calls to get to. The lines are blown up here, 216-578-0850, so we will get to as many of those as we can. And tons of tweets have been coming in at Browns_daily to the responses or the responses to the questions of what rule would you change in the league. A lot of you have opinions on that. We want to share as many of those as we can and our thoughts as well, and to what you would do with the fourth overall pick of the draft. So all of those are pouring in. Megan Rock is putting together all these tweets for us to share with you on the air. We'll get into those and your calls coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.